Open your Bibles with me, please, to Acts 17. Acts 17. In our last class, we studied the first requirement to understand the Bible. Now, I want to ask you guys, let's see who can remember. What is the first requirement to understand the Bible? Back there? You have to be born again. You have to be saved. Good job. You have to be indwelled by the Spirit, because if you're not indwelled by the Spirit, as we read from 1 Corinthians last time, an unbeliever cannot understand the Bible, cannot love the Bible, cannot obey the Bible. Well, today we will cover four more requirements for Bible study that you must meet in order to be a faithful student of the Word. And so we're going to study here four more requirements for Bible study. And the first requirement that I want to cover, guys, is diligence. Diligence. I hope you're already in Acts 17. Let's see how we find this requirement in this text. To give you some context, Paul has been traveling through the Gentile world. He was at Thessalonica, and due to persecution from the Jews, he and Silas were secretly sent to Berea so that the Jews would not imprison Paul and Silas, or worse, kill them. And so they're escaping from Thessalonica to Berea. Starting in verse 10, let's see how this happens. It says, "The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea," because again, they're protecting them. Keep reading. "And when they arrived, they," Paul and Silas, "went into the synagogue of the Jews." Now, isn't that interesting? It's so interesting. They go from almost being killed by a group of Jews because they're sharing the gospel with them, to now going to another group of Jews to share the gospel with them. It's like these guys are just bold and courageous and so loving that they will risk their lives just to share the gospel with the lost again and again. Verse 11. "Now these," meaning these Jews in Berea, notice this, "were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." Now, pause there. These guys were Bereans. They were the Bereans. We've heard of these people before, guys. The church, actually, the countryside has a Sunday school class called Bereans. And sometimes you will hear people say, "Man, you just have to be a Berean. You have to study your Bible well like a Berean." Because in contrast to the other Jews, these Jews, it says, they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And the word I want to emphasize here and that I want to study with you is this word examining. Examining. It says that they were examining the scriptures daily. And this word is a judicial term that speaks of issuing a deep investigation, as if to solve a crime, as if to decipher a deep mystery. And so these people heard what Paul had to say about the gospel. They receive what Paul has to say, and they examine the Old Testament to see if they can find the gospel there, to see if what he's saying jibes with Scripture. That's what they're doing. And as a result of that, look at verse 12. It says, "Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men." Let me ask you something, guys. Are you a Berean? Would God consider you noble-minded, as it says here, because of your diligence to study the Bible? How faithful are you in this regard? Because listen, Bible study requires diligence. It requires diligence. Now, turn to 2 Timothy 2 with me. 2 Timothy 2. And look at verse 15. In this book, Paul is instructing Timothy regarding Timothy's study of Scripture. Timothy was a pastor at the church of Ephesus, but regardless of that, what Paul is about to say applies to everybody's study of Scripture. This should be the standard. What we're about to read should be the standard of how you study the Bible. Paul says, verse 15, of 2 Timothy 2. It says, "Be diligent," that's our word again, "be diligent to present yourself approved to God." The word "approved" here means proven or tried and tested or reliable or proven to be of high quality. Keep reading. "So show yourself to be this kind of person, as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." He says, prove yourself to be a high quality workman or workwoman who does not need to be ashamed or embarrassed or humiliated. Have you guys ever been humiliated before? Have you guys ever been ashamed before? I was just teaching on pride and humility on Sunday to the Roots people, and I was telling them, God will sometimes bring embarrassing things to your life in order to make you embarrassed, in order to humble you. I was saying, you know, you teach constantly. You know what happens? You're going to say very dumb things from the pulpit, things that make you think, man, this would be a really good time for the rapture, you know? But the rapture never happens, you know? And I'm like, well, that's how much God loves me, you know? So think of, because he sanctifies me by allowing me to go through those situations. Think right now of the time when you've been the most embarrassed in your life. Think about it. Do you want to know what is even more embarrassing than that? Do you want to know what Paul says here? Hey, you want to know what's humiliating and shameful? Not in the sight of men, because we're always embarrassed by men, but he's saying in the sight of God. What's humiliating and embarrassing and shameful in the sight of God? A Christian who doesn't handle the word accurately. A Christian who is not diligent in Bible study. Wow. Now, the literal translation for accurately handling is cutting a straight line. Cutting a straight line. That's what it means. Now, to understand why he uses that term, who can remind me what Paul did for a living? He was a tent maker. Good job. He was a tent maker. So in a sense, as a tent maker, he was a leather worker, which meant that he had to cut straight lines every day. He had to cut shapes and do the math and make sure everything fit together to form the final piece. And so he's now borrowing that idea of cutting those leather pieces straight to now explain Bible study. He's saying you need to cut it straight when you study the Bible, when you interpret the Bible. You need to be accurate. That's what he means. Faithful student of the Bible will cut it straight. Every word, every phrase, every verse, getting every dimension, shape, equation accurately in order that he would understand what God has to say in that text. Now, is that you? Is that you? Let's just start from the basics. Do you even read your Bible? Guys, this is the sixth week that we've been going through this series of studying the Bible. Do you read your Bible? Because you show up and you're quiet and you look like you're listening, you know? But do you actually go home and apply it? You know what's it called? What a person is called when they're constantly listening to something and seeming as if they're applying that, but they don't actually do it. You know what that's called? A hypocrite. With a rotten heart. You know why? Because there's no conviction in your heart. Have you been convicted at all throughout this time? If you don't study your Bible, if you don't desire to know the Bible, have you been convicted at all? Examine your hearts, guys, because that may tell you where you're at before God. How about the reading plan? We are all going, well, not all of us, a lot of us are going through the reading plan, trying to finish the Bible in 2 years. You could do that. Are you doing it? And you may say, well, I just can't keep up. Hey, that's understandable. You might not be able to keep up. You might not be able to be as organized with your schedule as possible. How about you tell your parents, hey, would you sit down with me every single day at this time so that I can get this done? Would you make me do it? Would you read the Bible with me in the morning so that I could have you as an accountability partner? Why are your parents? Well, because God gave you your parents for that reason, to help you, and because they live with you. How about, are you diligent to get up in the morning and read your Bible? Because usually you won't do it at night. How diligent are you to get the meaning of the text? How about that? Or do you sometimes just read your Bible and you know that sometimes you read it and you're like, I have no idea what that says. And you just move along, or you just close it and you're like, all right, my duty's done. Do you ever do that? Because listen, sanctification happens when you understand the text, not when you just read something that doesn't make any sense to you. You have study Bibles, you have books, you have commentaries, most of you people have a phone, all right? All right? And you can actually look up what something means if you have one, if your parents allow you to do that. How about going to your parents to ask them, hey, is this the right interpretation? How about going to your leaders? How about writing down the questions that you have so that every time you come here with your leaders, you can say, hey, I read these chapters, but I don't know what this and this and this and this means. Can you help me? How about doing that? That's being faithful and diligent, to cut it straight, to be accurate when it comes to Bible study. And that's what you need to do. Or is it that you simply don't care, guys? Because if you don't want to do any of those things, you just don't care. And it may be that that is because you simply don't know the Lord. You don't love the Word because you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, which makes you desire the Bible. Which leads us to our second requirement, and that is desire. 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 Turn to 1 Peter 2 with me. 1 Peter 2. And look at verse 2. By the way, notice I did not mention desire before diligence. Because diligence always comes before desire. The mind always comes before emotion. Because sometimes you will not desire to read the Bible. What should you do then? You need to tell your heart to shut up and do your duty. That's what you need to do. Teach your heart, instruct your heart, guide your heart, never listen to it. Okay? That's what you must do. Sometimes you will feel emotions and you will say, I just don't want to do that. Don't listen to that. You need to know what the Bible says you need to do, and you just have to do it. First, you're diligent to study your Bible, and then the desire will come. It doesn't come backwards usually. All right, 1 Peter 2:2, it says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Who of you has ever seen a baby longing for milk? All right. Are they like desperate for it, or do they just say, hey, yeah, milk, whatever, you know, next week? Do they say that? Well, they can't really talk, but like, do they act like it? No, they're desperate. It's like if they were our size, they would kill to get that milk, all right? And that, those babies don't care about anything else but that milk. They don't care what you put on them. They don't care what PJs they're wearing. They don't care if mom and dad are sleeping. No, they're going to get their milk because they're going to get their milk, right? Now, Peter says, long for the Bible in that way. Long for the Bible in that way. Turn to Psalm 119. Keep your finger on 1 Peter 2, by the way, because we're going to come back. Psalm 119. Let me show you how a believer should long for the Bible and what it looks like. Psalm 119. Starting in verse 20. All right, verse 20. The psalmist says, my soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. It's like I'm just longing for your word at all times. Huh. Verse 53 of Psalm 119. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. He's like, How could they not love the law of God? How dare they not obey the law of God? I remember a book I read a while ago, and the author illustrated this passage. This was like 5 years ago, and I remember the author saying, this is like a man who has, let's say he has his wife whom he loves, and his children whom he loves, and his wife and children are the loveliest people in the world to him. They mean everything to him. And then comes another man and looks at this man's wife and children, and he says, ew, ugly, worthless, valueless, nothing. What is this other man going to think? He's going to be indignant. He's going to be angry. How dare you say that about those whom I love with everything? How can anybody not find them as lovely as I find them? Do you see that? In the same way, the psalmist is saying, how dare they look at the Bible, which I love with everything. This is my life, and not find it amazing. How could they? How could they? Look at verse 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And yet our wicked hearts are inclined to chase after money and possessions and toys and things when we have the most valuable thing in the world in our hands, the Bible. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. All the day. Guys, when I was little, some of you guys that just had birthdays, look, imagine All right? You don't have to imagine this. This happens to you. I mean, you ask your parents for something for your birthday, right? And you're excited and you get it. I was remembering the other time how when I wanted something like a device or a toy and I would get it, I wasn't allowed to take it to school. And literally, I would go to school and I would daydream about this thing all day long, whatever I wanted. I had a Nintendo DS. I think that's what they're like, the pre-switches. Switches, yeah, okay, never mind. Okay, good. Yeah, so that's what I had. I love that thing, all right? And I would daydream about this thing, and I would draw this thing, and I like to draw, so I'd draw what I thought about. And I was consumed. I worshipped it, okay? It was a sin. I was consumed with this gift that I wanted or that I had gotten, that I had left at home. Well, he's saying, it's my meditation all day long. I'm longing for the word all day long, he says. That's the way that we should long for the Bible, not because we worship it, but because we worship the God that the Bible reveals to us, because the Bible gives us the person of God, the character of God, the will of God, the purpose of God for our lives. It's everything to us. We love the Bible. And I could take you through verse after verse, even in this chapter alone, of how we should long for the Bible. But the point is, you need to long for the Bible in that way. And if you don't long for the Bible in that way, notice, by the way, and back to 2 Peter 2, the passage we read, it's a command, desire for the word in this way. It doesn't say, hey, hopefully one day your emotions will kick in and you'll finally start desiring the right things. No, he says, desire it in this way. It's a command. And if you don't desire it in that way, you're sinning. And so you have to repent to the Lord, and then you have to go back and say, Lord, help me to desire your word in this way. And how do you desire it in that way? Well, you are diligent in the Bible. You're diligent in the Bible, and that will lead to desire, which will lead to being more diligent in reading the Bible, which will lead to more desire. And it's like a cycle that you repeat over and over and over again until you die. All right. That's what you do. Okay. Third requirement. By the way, I'm running out of time. I'm also hoping that we'll cover some of these requirements later on, so we're just going to go fast through these. Third requirement, holiness. Go back to 1 Peter 2. Hope you still have your finger there. We just looked at verse 2. Now look at verse 1. It says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. Listen, faithful Bible study cannot happen unless there is holiness in the heart. Holiness. And oftentimes when you don't have a desire, it's because that's not backed up by holiness. Because you can't have verse 2 unless you have verse 1. You need to have holiness. So how diligent are you guys to be killing sin in your life? To be pure. When it comes to your thoughts, you might look pure and godly, and you might look like the greatest Christian in the world outwardly, and your mom may look at you and say, oh man, what a sweetheart I have as a son, as a daughter. They're just so wonderful and so pure and so clean and so godly and so holy, but your mind is rotten. How careful are you to watch over your thoughts so that when an evil thought comes up, you're like, no, I need to turn from that. I need to cite the passages. I need to, Jonathan Edwards used to do math equations every time. And he said every time an evil thought came up, you know. How diligent are you to kill your sin? Not just outwardly. That's easy. That's easy. You live in a Christian world right now in the Bible. Not like Christian nation, all that stuff. No. In a Christian bubble of countryside. And it's very easy to grow up here and look very godly, but on the inside be rotten. Be careful, that's not you. How diligent are you to be holy? Holy. Fourth requirement, prayer. Prayer. Last week, when we studied that the first requirement, we saw that an unbeliever can't understand the Bible because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Well, listen, even if you have the Holy Spirit, you need continual help from the Holy Spirit in order to understand the Bible. And how do you get that? Prayer. Reliance on Him through prayer. Let me show you. I hope you're still you still have a finger on Psalm 119. So let's go back. Psalm 119. Sorry, did I not tell you that we were going to go back to that text? I thought I had. Apologize. Psalm 119. Verse 33. This is the prayer of a believer indwelt by the Spirit, asking God for help in understanding during his Bible study. 33, Psalm 119, it says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways." Guys, that's a prayer that you need to be praying to God every single time you study the Bible. He's saying, "God, I'm saved, but I still don't understand what I'm reading. Give me understanding. Grant me understanding. Open my eyes. Incline my heart. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways." Meaning, help me not to be so entertained and so distracted by trivial things like a Nintendo DS or video games or the World Cup or movies or whatever else. Like, it's not wrong to look at those things. The problem is that we're so distracted. It's like, help me not to be so distracted and entertained by those things, and instead give me life in your ways. Help me to live this out. Help me to hold your word as infinitely more important than any of those things. Help me. So you need to do that. You need to pray to the Lord to give you understanding and to give you a longing and a love for the Word. Rely on Him. I remember hearing of George Whitefield that he would never read his Bible unless he was kneeling down, because he wanted to have that dependence on the Lord. And so he would read part of his Bible, and then he would turn that into a prayer to God. And then he would read a little more, and then he would pray more, and then he would read a little more and pray more. And that's kind of what we have to do. You don't have to kneel down literally, but that should be the posture of your heart. Dependence on the Lord. I cannot understand what I'm reading unless God works in my heart and opens my eyes. Well, guys, we have covered four more requirements for Bible study. Four requirements that I hope you would start putting to practice even today. Let's pray to the Lord that He would help us in doing that. Our Father, we thank You. You are so gracious in allowing us to know Your Word and giving us Your Word. While there are billions of people that have lived and that perhaps even live right now and they've never read Your Word in their lives, You chose us to be here. Help us to understand the privilege, the honor, the responsibility that is, and help us to love Your Word. Help us all to put these requirements to practice, to be diligent, to desire Your Word, to be holy, and to depend on You through prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.